Welcome to Next Gen Mentoring Forum. Next Gen Mentoring Forum series is to empower, educate, and illuminate individuals who are in or interested in the financial planning profession. At each forum, an expert will discuss a topic in the field of financial planning with the purpose of inspiring critical thoughts and discussions. In today's session, we are very honored to have Dr. Wei Fao with us today. He is going to talk about navigate important financial decisions for retirement. My name is Dr. Jolly Jen. I am an assistant professor and director of financial planning program at California Lutheran University. I am a certified financial planner practitioner and maintain an active financial planning practice specializing in succession program management at Value Growth Institute. I'm so very honored today to have Dr. Wei Fao with us today. Dr. Fao is the program director of the Retirement Income Certified Professional Designation and a professor of retirement income at the American College of Financial Services in King of Prussia in Pennsylvania, as well as a co-director of the college's Center for Retirement Income. He is a principal and director for McLean Assets Management. He holds a doctorate in economics from Princeton University and has published more than 60 peer review research articles in the wide variety of academic and practitioner journals. He hosts the Retirement Researcher website and is a contributor to Forbes, Advisor Perspectives, Journal of Financial Planning, and an expert panelist for the Wall Street Journal. Dr. Fao's newest book is The Retirement Planning Guidebook, Navigating the Important Decisions for Retirement Success. Plus, the third edition of Reverse Mortgage is coming out on March 1st. I have my reading list all lined up. Dr. Fao also was my dissertation committee chair. So thank you, Dr. Fao, for coming in today. I really do appreciate you taking time. I know you're very, very busy. I'm going to go ahead and stop sharing on my end and let you take over the slides. And as we go through the presentation, we will probably have a few minutes toward the end of the presentation for Q&A. So Dr. Fao?
Yeah, thanks, Dr. Chien. And I thought you were going to skip the most important part of my bio there, but you did get it in right at the end, being your dissertation supervisor. It was a
right.
Wonderful experience. But you got it in there. And so thanks everyone for joining this afternoon and for the opportunity to talk about, I guess I don't have the right title on this slide, but it all fits together. Navigating important decisions for retirement. And in particular, to provide some context, this is based on some research I did with Alex Merguia during the pandemic. And then it really became, as I was writing this retirement planning guidebook, step one. So to provide more context there, like these are the 12 steps I view as an important part of building a complete retirement income plan. And so step one is just identifying your retirement income style. And that's what I'll focus on today. That is really, it's based on new research and it's how I view step one of retirement planning. And that gives a sense of how much effort do you want to pay attention to things like the investment strategy, annuities, and so forth to lay a foundation and a starting point. And then beyond that as well, recognizing and understanding what the risks for retirement are and how they impact an individual's financial plan. And then looking at the finances. So what are the financial goals for retirement and assessing preparedness through something like the funded ratio or some other financial planning software to assess how much assets are there to fund retirement expenses? What are those retirement expenses? What is the budget? What are the legacy goals? What are the reserves to manage the unexpected that someone wants to have? And then are there sufficient assets to cover that? Step four gets into, okay, how do we build a specific retirement income strategy? Which that conversation starts with the step one, what is your retirement style? But then in building the retirement strategy, looking at different annuity tools, different investment tools, and so forth, and trying to settle on a basic approach to funding retirement. then as well, these next steps are important decisions that can't be overlooked. The Social Security claiming decision, decisions around, well, healthcare pre-Medicare, plus then Medicare decisions about retirement, having some sort of plan in place for long-term care, whether that's to self-fund, to use a long-term care insurance policy, either traditional or one of the more hybrid approaches that combines long-term care with life insurance or an annuity, or Medicaid planning and that sort of thing. Then we have retirement housing decisions, and that can also then lead into, with those who have an eligible home, whether a reverse mortgage might be part of the planning process. Tax planning, and this is another area where I've been doing a lot of research most recently, of actually getting into the mechanics of how do you develop a strategic Roth conversion strategy to extend portfolio longevity and or to have more legacy after meeting a retirement goal. Then you've got the legacy and incapacity planning, the non-financial aspects of retirement, which really are just as important as the financial considerations. And that's really about managing time. What are you going to do in retirement? What's your purpose? What's your passion? How are you going to replace work? Some people really struggle with that. So maybe work has a role in retirement, or maybe volunteer work or hobbies, but trying to help people facilitate that transition from spending 8 hours a day working or whatever the case may be for them to filling that time with something else. And then the final 12th step is implementing the retirement plan, as well as making ongoing monitoring and adjustments as one goes throughout retirement. So now digging really into the retirement income styles in particular. So what are some of the issues with investing for retirement? And then I'll talk a bit about risk tolerance questionnaires and how they don't necessarily align well with the concerns or preferences people have for retirement. I'll talk more about retirement income concerns and beliefs, and then putting that all together to talk about retirement styles and how those styles then match to specific retirement strategies. So a key emphasis is retirement is different. The pre-retirement accumulation world that a lot of times just gets extrapolated and used in the same manner post-retirement, it doesn't necessarily meet the new differences that retirees face. And that's in particular with the risks they face, with the longevity, with the market volatility, and how the sequence of returns risk amplifies that, and then also the different types of spending shocks. So retirement is different. Post-retirement is different from pre-retirement. This analogy of mountain climbing, I think, is really effective to explain the idea where if you're climbing a mountain, it's typical to think, well, my goal is to make it to the top of the mountain. But the reality is you need to make it safely back down the mountain as well. And getting down the mountain is much more complicated than getting to the top of the mountain. That's where most of the accidents happen. It's on the way down as people are tired or they slip. And it's easier to go up, not easier, strenuous, but it's not as dangerous going uphill as it is going downhill. And that same sort of analogy applies for retirement, where we often think, and there's even been financial service companies that have run commercials where people are walking around with a number over their head. And it's like the goal of retirement planning is to achieve some sort of wealth accumulation target, whatever that number may be, if it's 1 million or 2 million or 500,000, it's kind of framed as if I save enough, then I've achieved my retirement goal. And that's like getting to the top of the mountain. But getting back down that mountain in the context of retirement is now I have to sustain that number, that investment portfolio, or that wealth allocation throughout an unknown time horizon and in the face of all these new retirement risks. And so that process is more dangerous. Getting down the mountain, making it through retirement sustainably, is more difficult than saving and accumulating and getting to the top of the mountain. Now, with retirement strategies, though, there's a lot of debates and a lot of disagreements, and you can see this all the time, especially if you visit some internet discussion boards and so forth. People don't agree on the best framework for how to approach retirement. And so a big part of what this research was trying to say is for a long time, I felt different strategies are all viable. But then how do you figure out this person should use a systematic withdrawal strategy with investments, or that person should use an annuity as part of their strategy. We haven't really had a framework for that. It's really just been based on opinion. And several years back in one of the books that I've written, this is an outdated list at this point. You could definitely add a lot more to it, but just trying to classify different types of retirement income strategies. And there's so many out there. And so this is just an example of, we really don't have any universal framework or guidance about how to approach retirement. And so different individuals have come up with different strategies, whether they're decision rules about how to have variable spending from investments, whether their approaches that try to build a lifetime income floor. Just there's been a lot of different ideas out there about how to build a retirement strategy. Now, this is where trying to help people then have an approach to manage this. We want to get at this idea of, what is someone's retirement style? Like, what are their preferences, and how can they understand their preferences to help guide them towards choosing from among these strategies? We want to match those preferences to a method for actually sourcing. And this is an important point. They're essential, kind of the essential versus discretionary. The essential spending is really what these retirement styles are about. How do you want to source essential spending needs for retirement? And then at that point, aligning discretionary goals as well with an investment portfolio. But it can be hard to do that before you, or until after you've first identified, how do you want to fund the essentials? For some people, it will just be having a total return investing strategy. For other people, they may want to approach investing differently for essentials versus for discretionary. Okay, so we've known this for a while. Harry Markowitz developed modern portfolio theory in the 1950s. It's the idea of asset allocation and diversification and the efficient frontier. He won the Nobel Prize for that in 1990. And then in 1991, in the very first issue of Financial Services Review, he was asked to write a commentary on how does modern portfolio theory apply to households. And he said he never considered it before. And after thinking about it for an evening, he recognized modern portfolio theory was never meant for a household investor. It was designed for large institutions like mutual fund companies that are infinitely lived, that don't have any liability they're trying to fund. It really is an assets only portfolio diversification type of question that they face. Households face a whole different set of considerations. And so he's saying, you really have to approach this differently. I view this article as the birth of retirement income planning, as something distinct within the broader realm of financial planning. And we've had retirement planning, but retirement planning was often focused on the pre-retirement accumulation, whether to use different tax advantaged accounts in our tax code and so forth. Retirement income starts with the process of how do you then take the distributions to fund expenses after leaving the workforce. So we know I showed 37 different strategies before. Those can be summarized into how the Financial Planning Association has presented this. Now I'll rename some of these, but it's the basic idea. Systematic withdrawals, that's what I'll call total returns. That's systematically spending from an investment portfolio. Essential versus discretionary, that's also been called floor versus upside, or it's really about building a lifetime income floor for the essentials, and then investing on top of that for discretionary expenses. And I'll break that one into two categories, the income protection and risk wrap, as two different ways to approach that. I'll get into more detail. And then time segmentation, which has always been presented as a hybrid approach between systematic withdrawals and essential versus discretionary. And that's where you invest differently for different time horizons with the idea, it's also known as bucketing. You use some sort of safer, like less volatile fixed income asset to cover shorter term expenses. And then you have the growth portfolio, investing for upside and so forth for the more discretionary types of expenses. For the longer term, after the short term buckets, you have these assets earmarked more for longer term expenses. Okay, so we have these four different retirement income strategies that, again, the total return, that's systematic withdrawals. You've got the income protection, which is one of the flooring approaches. You've got the time segmentation, which is going to be the bucketing type approach. And then risk wrap, which is Well, the distinction is income protection generally is more about using simple income annuities, single premium immediate annuities, deferred income annuities, QLACs, longevity insurance, sometimes fixed index annuities with living benefits that have that principal protection for the underlying asset value. And then risk wrap is more the world of like the deferred annuity, like the variable annuity, now the registered index linked annuity, where there is downside risk for the underlying asset, but also greater upside potential, and still a protected lifetime income through the living benefits that these types of annuities can offer. Okay, so we're back to this question again. How do retirees choose from amongst the different retirement strategy possibilities? And so the answer has been many different possibilities, whether it's they've listened to a financial advisor's radio show, they've read a personal finance blog, they follow the personal finance consumer media like Kiplinger, which is really the only print edition left, but there used to be many others like Money Magazine, Smart Money, and so forth. They attend some sort of local advisor seminar, attend a local class, maybe at the community college or the library, some sort of community education, retirement planning class. Work with a financial advisor, of course, is another option, but it's more they're finding some sort of resource that's telling them, here's the way to build a retirement income plan. And usually that guidance will come in the form of whatever solution that individual, the speaker has in mind, that's presented to the consumer as this is the right way to do things. And then, well, the question is, was a proper match made? Does the style of the consumer in that situation match the style of the individual providing that guidance? And so that's really been all we had. And so a lot of times, based on different business models within financial services and so forth, if you generally are either licensed or your business model uses one type of strategy or one type of solution, you try to fit that to everyone. And that's that old analogy of if all you have is a hammer, everything starts to look like a nail. And so that then leads to many different proposed way of doing things, again, without necessarily any sort of validation beyond, here's what I think is the right way to do thing. Any other strategy is wrong because they're conflicted with their advice or whatever the case may be. But again, it's really just, there hasn't been a lot of analytical guidance behind choosing a retirement strategy. So this is an aside to all this as well, because when we talk about these retirement income styles, an incorrect way to frame it would be, this is a risk tolerance questionnaire for retirement. And that's not the case. It's the retirement income styles is more about finding a retirement personality, but that it's an important aside that we have risk tolerance questionnaires and they're used pre-retirement to help. It's really a tool of modern portfolio theory with the idea, build a diversified portfolio, invest as aggressively as possible because we believe in the risk premium from the stock market to provide a bigger long-term return. However, subject to the ability of that individual to stomach short-term market volatility, so they can only invest as aggressively as their risk tolerance allows them with regard to short-term market volatility. So that is a tool we've had pre-retirement. And that's a tool that gets used post-retirement, but it's not necessarily effective post-retirement. I mean, and there's a lot of issues with risk tolerance questionnaires, such as, do they measure like the underlying state of, if markets are down, do people score as more risk averse? If markets were up, do they score as more risk tolerant and so forth? There's a lot of issues like that that we can set aside entirely and just, we can accept the risk tolerance questionnaire and face value as not having these issues. However, it still has this other important issue, which is, does it really speak to the concerns people have for retirement? So risk tolerance questionnaires were just born out of like this necessity for financial service firms to have a way to offer an asset allocation guidance, a model portfolio, and to justify that they're doing it in a way that's suitable for the client. So that's fine, but then post-retirement, well, we can also argue that pre-retirement, maybe this idea of short-term market volatility measures risk, that's questionable. But post-retirement, there is much more question about, does this risk metric of the risk tolerance questionnaire, which is short-term market volatility, does that actually speak to the concerns people have for retirement? And the answer is no, people have other concerns. There isn't just one concern. People are worried about outliving their wealth. People are worried about having, and this was something like having reserves for unexpected spending. But what we've also found in doing this survey research is reserves can really be split two ways. People have distinct concerns about having reserves for healthcare and long-term care spending needs, and then having reserves for other spending shocks, such as having to replace a roof or whatever the case may be, something else where you suddenly have a big bill and you need to have some liquidity to cover that expense. So people are concerned about these things. Now, people may be concerned about overall maximizing lifestyle as well. And that's where the risk tolerance questionnaire does potentially speak to that, but not necessarily for these other concerns. And I'll talk more about that. But so retirement is different. We do need to consider that these more multidimensional aspects of risk that just are not going to be included in a risk tolerance questionnaire. And so we want to find some sort of method to help understand. Again, it's as a first step in retirement planning, what kind of approach, what kind of style, which leads to an approach to build your retirement plan. Okay, so what do people worry about for retirement? Again, they may worry about outliving, and this people may judge these differently. So outliving your assets, the sequence of returns risk, where a market downturn digs a hole for your portfolio that's harder to recover from when you're actually spending from the assets. Different types of spending shocks, declining cognitive abilities, compounding inflation, and so on and so on. I talk about these four L's, and I always talked about these before as the four goals of financial goals of retirement, but they also can just be explained as the concerns people have for retirement. So longevity, outliving your, not wanting to outlive the ability to meet your essential spending in retirement. Lifestyle, maximizing your overall lifestyle to get the most enjoyment out of retirement. Legacy, which we find really isn't that important to most people. Legacy is about leaving something for the next generation, but it's frequently framed as, okay, if there's something left over, that's fine, the next generation can have it. Otherwise, it's not necessarily a high priority concern for many people. And then liquidity, having reserves available for unexpected expenses that weren't budgeted in as part of longevity and lifestyle. And then really there's five L's in that regard, because liquidity is both for spending shocks other than health and long-term care. And then we could say like long-term care liquidity or reserves for long-term care expenses as a fifth L. Okay, so it can be hard again to match up your style here. So this research was published in the Retirement Management Journal. The article is Selecting a Personalized Retirement Income Strategy. And this journal is freely available on the internet if anyone would like to look that up and read the full research article. But what we come down to is we're trying to understand what guides people's decisions about retirement. And so just in reading different books for consumers, for financial advisors and so forth, trying to understand what are distinct ideas where people have to make some sort of judgment call, that they have to make a choice or face some sort of trade-off, and then try to identify what those possibilities are. And then we do an exploratory factor analysis to then try to understand which factors actually seem to be important. And so what you see here is based on a full statistical algorithm that is leading us to these conclusions that there's these two primary factors that have a distinct role in really helping to explain somebody's preferences about retirement, and then also four secondary factors. So I'll talk about what these mean, because the really neat thing is how your views on these different ideas translate into these retirement strategies that we have. So really what we're doing here is you give someone a questionnaire, you see their scoring on these six different factors, and you don't necessarily even need all six. It's really the first two that you see there that are the most important. But then you translate that into, okay, here's the retirement strategy that seems to best align with what you said are your preferences for retirement, whether that's total return, risk wrap, income protection, or time segmentation. Okay, so then this is really what we're doing here is, like, this is how I view the broader process of retirement income planning. The goals are the four L's on the left. They map into liabilities or expenses associated with those goals on the right. And then just how do you position assets to fund these goals or to fund these liabilities between reliable income assets that have some sort of contractual element behind them, the diversified portfolio that'll focus more on a risk premium, and then reserve assets that are not otherwise earmarked for another goal that are available for the unexpected. And it, depending on your style, you have different ways to build that retirement income, that reliable income piece for the essentials. If you're a total return investor, you specifically are willing to use your diversified portfolio to fund an essential expense. Okay, so now these factors, probability-based versus safety first and optionality versus commitment, those are the two primary factors. And so probability-based is, how do you like to draw your retirement income? And this is all based on the semantic differential. My co-author is a psychologist, so he brings in the that terminology.